We sing of Jesus, and as Christians, we must sing of Jesus, or better, we cannot keep from singing. Jesus is important to us. Jesus is essential. In our gospel reading today, we see one of the central images that is used for Jesus in the Christian tradition, that of Jesus as Good Shepherd. We've all been presented with that image in one way or another, but I'm not so sure that we often stop to think about its essential biblical meaning. So I'd like to offer some brief thoughts about the image of the shepherd in the Bible, in our theology of Easter, and in our understanding of Jesus as the center of our Christian faith. Now, in ancient civilizations, we find many references to the art of good shepherding as a quality needed for good leadership. And this is certainly true in the culture of ancient Israel. Moses had training as a shepherd and was looking after the sheep that belonged to his father-in-law when he received his calling at the burning bush. Much is made of David's background as a shepherd boy before he becomes one of the few kings of Israel with a relatively good reputation. And it's common to call the kings shepherds. In many biblical passages, the words king and shepherd are virtually interchangeable, and we see exactly that in our reading from the prophet Ezekiel today, who's ranting against the shepherds. Read kings of Israel. They've been greedy and self-serving, oppressing their people instead of looking after them. By and large, they exercised very poor pastoral care. Yes, pastoral care. That is where the word comes from the image of the shepherd looking after the sheep in the pasture. The prophet Ezekiel finds it outrageous how the kings have ruled with an abusive power which made them fat and wealthy while the people suffered. And here we have the age-old story of entitlement within the ruling class with little regard for the common good and an ever-growing gap between the wealthy and the poor. Ezekiel doesn't like it. God doesn't like it. Ezekiel can only imagine that from God's point of view, things are going to have to change. Ezekiel hears God saying, "To hell with those corrupt shepherds. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep." Now, of course, that would present some logistical problems. It's fine to say that God is going to do it, but just how will that happen when God is holy mystery beyond complete knowledge, above perfect description? Sure, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures, and so on and so on. But let's get real. Is God actually going to show up and organize a just society? If we'd read on a little further in chapter 34 of Ezekiel, we would have seen a kind of solution to our problem, a compromise of sorts. Ezekiel has God saying, "I will save my flock, and they shall no longer be ravaged, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd, and I, the Holy One, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them." In spite of scores of failures, we'll have to try it one more time. Surely God can conjure up a good king, a compassionate king, a righteous king, capable of providing the kind of pastoral care that the people deserve. And since David, although not entirely perfect, was much more decent than any of the others, let's give that righteous shepherd king the name David. And so the messianic tradition of Israel was born. a Messiah, meaning anointed one, would come someday to bring good pastoral care to Israel and indeed to all of God's creation. As you know, of course, Christians claim that Jesus fills this role to the letter. We even call Jesus the Messiah, the Christ, the word Christ coming from the Greek translation of the Hebrew-based Messiah. And by all accounts, Jesus was a compassionate and righteous leader who exercised exquisite pastoral care. Moreover, Jesus inaugurated a community of love, a kingdom of kindred spirits capable of caring for each other and working hard to bring about a just society in the world at large. But as we all know, the world at large was not keen on that just society. Jesus was arrested on a trumped-up charge and executed as a common criminal. But that is not the end of our story, and hence our theology of Easter. And our Easter theology comes out of the experience that people had of Jesus before his death. This is how the Song of Faith puts it. So filled with the Holy Spirit was Jesus that in Jesus people experienced the presence of God among them. And then comes a paragraph describing the compassionate and just society that Jesus inaugurated and the pastoral care that is characteristic of that kingdom. Jesus announced the coming of God's reign, a commonwealth not of domination, but of peace, justice, and reconciliation. He healed the sick and fed the hungry. He forgave sins and freed those held captive by all manner of demonic powers. He crossed barriers of race, class, culture, and gender. He preached and practiced unconditional love. Love of God, love of neighbor, love of friend, love of enemy. And he commanded his followers to love one another as he had loved them. Having articulated and established such a profound culture of abundant life, that culture and the Spirit of God residing within it simply could not be wiped out, not even by a cruel execution on a horrible cross. And therefore, again, in the words of our song, death was not the last word. In Jesus' resurrection, God overcomes death. Nothing separates us from the love of God. The risen Christ lives today, present to us and the source of our hope. In response to who Jesus was and to all he did and taught, to his life, death, resurrection, to his continuing presence with us through the Spirit, we celebrate him as the Word made flesh, the one in whom God and humanity are perfectly joined, the transformation of our lives, the Christ. That is our Easter theology. Now, there's one more thing that needs to be said about the role of Jesus as Good Shepherd in our Easter context. And that is that ultimately, the shepherd's work of pastoral care is passed on to the sheep themselves. In one of the Good Shepherd-related resurrection appearances, we get these stories each year in the Easter season. This one will come a couple of years from now in year C of the Common Lectionary. But in that particular resurrection appearance, the risen Christ has breakfast with the disciples and asks Peter three times, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And remember, Peter had betrayed Jesus three times. And Peter, of course, insists each time that indeed he loves Jesus very, very much. And then in each instance, the risen Christ says, well then, feed my lambs, tend my sheep. And so the work of pastoral care is then turned over to the community of followers of Jesus. Never mind the kings, the prophets, or even messiahs. The work ultimately belongs to us. It is our job to care for each other, to care for those in the world around us, to care for the earth itself. It is our job to carry on with the exercise of compassion, with the work of peace and justice making, with the stewardship of creation. It's our job to cultivate the kingdom. A work of pastoral care, not an empire building project. And of course, we are equipped for this task. Remember again that line in the Song of Faith. So filled with the Holy Spirit was Jesus that in Jesus people experienced the presence of God among them. And when we acknowledge and embrace the good news of Easter, we incorporate this same inspiration into ourselves. Remember, the risen Christ also appears to the disciples, breathes on them, and says, "Receive the Holy Spirit." The energy of the Spirit of God is available to us to animate us, to enable us to do the work of pastoral care that brings abundant life into this world of ours. So here are some of the final lines from the Song of Faith. We taste the mystery of God's great love for us and are renewed in faith and hope. Divine creation does not cease until all things have found wholeness, union, and integration with the common ground of all being. As children of the Timeless One, our time-bound lives will find completion in the all-embracing Creator. And in the meantime, we embrace the present, embodying hope, loving our enemies, caring for the earth, choosing life. Grateful for God's loving action, we cannot keep from singing. Creating and seeking relationship, in awe and trust, we witness to holy mystery, which is holy love. Amen.